Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, Jeffrey Wicker on Twitter has his takeaway of the day here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Now, we do end the show every single day right at 1:57 with our takeaways of the day. Brian Gebhart comes in and basically reads us a list of weird things we said throughout the show. Jeffrey's takeaway of the day, Chrissy Teigen needs a biscuit.
She does. I mean, she's a beautiful lady. She's a gorgeous woman. She's just skinny, man.
You know, I started my day with a biscuit. I got a biscuit breakfast sandwich from Racetrack. It was pretty good.
Dude, I'm telling you, if you can get there fresh, if you can get a fresh Racetrack quick, if you can get there when it, because if you sit there and wait, let them sit in that little baggie.
Yeah, man, it starts
you,
to.
Yeah, you can throw that biscuit through the glass.
It gets the greenhouse effect and it gets all mold and like squished together with the moisture.
Dude, you got me wanting a biscuit now.
It was good this morning. I enjoyed it. It was a good biscuit. I might do it again.
Man, I want me a biscuit now. Chick-fil-A still selling breakfast.
I think, doesn't McDonald's sell breakfast all day now? I think they do.
I'm all right. I'm okay.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You guys can send us your takeaways of the day throughout the show, and we'll read them at the end. Like, we'll read your takeaways of the day, too.
As you know,
that's
we
a
like
good
to
one.
Read that. Yeah, we'll read some.
Weird words. Chrissy Teigen needs a biscuit. My dog's got a flannel. All kinds of stuff has happened already today. And we're only halfway
home.
We got half a show to go, including the Lunchtime Falcons report coming up in 20 minutes. We'll get back into some of what Charles Davis said to us yesterday from the NFL on Fox. Joined the show yesterday. Wes Durham, who normally joins us at 12:20 on Thursdays, is going to join us at 1:20. So Wes will join us in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll get to some damn good dog questions with Brian Gebhart coming up at 12:40. We always kick off the noon hour with the Braxton Big Clip of the Day, brought to you by Braxton Automotive, after warranty luxury auto repair.
He's on the headpiece, so he's always talking. And ultimately, it's not the plays, especially in this defensive system, that, in my opinion, make the difference. It's the players and the communication and the execution.
Yeah, that's Jeff Ulbrich there, Randy, talking about Dan Quinn's involvement with the defense at this point as now the former defensive coordinator, kind of head coach, obviously. Ulbrich is calling some of the plays. Raheem Morris is calling some of the plays. Raheem is now in charge of the secondary. Of course, Jeff Ulbrich is still the linebackers coach as well. I know that you wanted to react to that quote there. I also had a question, theory, that I don't know we can get the answer to, but I think it's interesting. Do you think Dan Quinn's role maybe went back to focusing on the defensive line a little bit more?
That could be it.
Because that was the best defensive line performance we've seen all season, and that's his specialty.
That's his specialty, and I'm sure that he had a hand in all that probably. And maybe, you know, relegating responsibility like that has given him more time to do that. But the thing with it is that whenever you head coach any football team, you're always hands-on with your side of the ball, no matter what, whether you're calling the plays or not. So I just want to know how the communication is with, you know, the first and second and third down. So it's like, it's third, you know, and over here at the Mercedes-Benz, it's third down. Do they got, all right, Raheem, you up? You know, I mean, seriously. All right, you're up, Raheem. I mean, and if he gives up a first down, is Ulbrich like, damn, you know.
Come on,
Raheem. Come on, man.
It was 3rd and 9.
You know,
what are you doing?
But, hey, obviously it worked. So, of course, they're going to keep trying it. Of course, whenever you sit down and watch some pregame and everything this weekend before the Falcons game, they'll probably talk about that also.
Also, what happens if Raheem dials up a play for 3rd down and it's like 3rd and 3 and then the defense commits a penalty and then it's 1st down? Does the play that he called stay, or do they call a different play because now it's 1st down and they didn't call
another,
a play?
And another thing, okay, what if it is Raheem just on 3rd down, obvious passing downs? Like, if it's 3rd and 1, is it, you know what I'm saying?
Or what if Raheem calls a play and it's 3rd and 3 and the offense false starts and then it's 3rd and 8? I guess he still calls the play, but maybe he calls a different play.
Dude,
it just seems like there's a lot of stuff happening on the fly.
I, I, I really think me and you overthinking this.
We are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
But yeah, I think we're overthinking
this. That's what we do. At least usually that's what I do. I'm glad I could rope you in with me.
Yeah, I think we are overthinking
in this process. Yeah. No, you're right. We'll get to the Lunchtime Falcons report coming up in 20 minutes.
Their defense speaks for itself. They've got a ton of guys that are going to be drafted on it. They got guys that seem like they have played in our conference for 10 years. And it seems that we played against that defensive group a lot because all those guys seem like they started as freshmen from the secondary to the front.
Yeah, Kirby Smart, in other words, just saying that Auburn's got a very girthy defense. A lot of big guys on that side of the ball.
You see where I got it from?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, man, it's a football word.
It is a football word.
Okay, and I'm going to leave it as a football
word.
And
it's true.
Which y'all manage so.
It's true. Yeah. They've got a lot of big dudes over there on defense.
They do, man.
Derek Brown being one of them. We had Takiyo Spikes in earlier telling us. And I think I understand what Takiyo was saying. He was not trying to say that Derek Brown is going to be the next Reggie White.
Mm-hmm.
But to even make the comparison, that's high praise.
Yeah,
Derek's good.
They got some really good players. And like you said, they've been playing for a long time at this defensive line, linebacker. They got some veterans in the secondary. But I think that if Auburn's best when they can run the football. We know that. Especially when you got a young quarterback. So if Boobie Whitlow, if he's back, that gives them the better shot. Because the one thing you want to do when you're playing against a dominant run-stopping defense like Georgia and Auburn has, you got to be able to play action pass. So that means you got to stick with the run a little bit so you can get those big plays out of field.
Yeah, and look, we know that Georgia's defense has been fantastic this year, probably the strength of the team right now. Their run defense has been the best part of their defense.
Yeah.
So if you can take away the run game, even with if Whitlow is back, and it sounds like he's going to be, then you put it on the arm of Bo Nix. Bo Nix, a true freshman quarterback. I know he's played like 8 or 9 games now, and he's had some big moments. But if you look at the numbers, I mean, he's struggled. Especially recently, he's struggled. And if you can make him have to beat you, I feel pretty good about that.
I feel good about it. That's a good
situation for Georgia's football team.
I feel good about it. And, you know, we had Adam Zucker.
Zucker,
you know, he's at first to 20. It might be that way. It might be that kind of game, a 2013 type game. I mean, when you're going to Auburn, just get out of Auburn. You know what I'm saying? It ain't no, I got to put up this. Just get out of there.
Yeah.
You got to go in there and get that win and just get up out of there. Because, I mean, it is a tough place to play. They are tough. They are tough, hard-nosed, especially defense. And then that crowd, I'm telling you, it's going to be going in on Saturday.
They're good. Like,
they're a good football team.
A good team. Like, I don't know, like, if for whatever reason, I know Georgia being ranked maybe in the top four is playing into it. I know Auburn has 2 losses, and they got 2 losses relatively early, so they were out of the national championship conversation quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what exactly it is, but Auburn's ranked, 12th right now, 11th right now in the college football rankings?
We know they're the highest ranking two-loss team.
They are the highest rated two-loss team. But if you look at other people's rankings and the way that Vegas looks at this, they have them as an even better team than that.
Yeah.
Like, Georgia's a 2.5-point favorite in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's going to be the closest number that Georgia has on the, obviously, with Mississippi, with Texas A&M and Georgia Tech. Those numbers are going to be
two and a half. Is 2.5 the smallest number Georgia's had all year? It probably is.
Yeah, they were favored by more than that against Notre Dame. They were definitely favored by more than that against Florida. So, yeah, I think Vegas is not the be-all, end-all. But it's a pretty good indicator of what the game is going to look
like. It's going to be tough.
Like, those guys make those numbers in order to make their house payments.
It's going to be a tough game, man. I promise you that, dude. It's going to be a heavyweight title fight with a lot of body blows, and it's all about who gets that knockout punch. Because, I mean, it's not going to be easy at all.
What is Georgia's knockout punch, do you think? Like, what is the thing, like, if they have a definitive advantage in one area? Because to me, it's Jake Fromm. Like, Jake Fromm needs to be the knockout punch for Georgia against Auburn on Saturday. Obviously, he's better in the quarterback matchup. You have a clear advantage in the quarterback matchup with the experience and what Georgia has. I think the defense is, I don't know, we'll see who's better on Saturday, but call it a wash. I think Georgia has a better secondary than Auburn does. I think Georgia has a better run game and a better offensive line. But the thing that clearly to me is the knockout punch is Jake Fromm.
Great point. And we both said this yesterday. Jake Fromm's got to be really good.
He does.
He can't be Missouri Jake Fromm and win this game. He has to be really good this game. And I think he will be. I think he will be.
I do too.
Like last time he was in Auburn, Auburn just blitzed. They just blitzed us from the get go. They just manhandled Georgia. They were able to run the football. And then you saw a little bit in the SEC championship game. Now I know what's the name, the running back. I know he did get banged up and everything, but I mean, we were winning that game regardless. It didn't matter. We were going to win that SEC championship game regardless.
That was Kerryon Johnson.
Kerryon
right?
Johnson. Yeah. Yeah, he hurt again.
Well, he's always hurt.
He's hurt again up there in Detroit. He's playing well before he got hurt.
He's a good player, but he gets hurt all the time. And you're right. I mean, DeAndre Swift has to be really good this weekend too. Get the playmakers involved. George Pickens, if he can not let going against Auburn and going back to Alabama be too much of an emotional thing for him, could be a huge player this game. Like, Georgia has the guys. They got the weapons. Fromm just has to put it in their hands,
that's
man.
That's all that matters, man. Like,
I hope that he can. I think that he can. I hope that he can. I can't wait to see what it looks like on Saturday.
It's never going to be about me. I'm just grateful to be here. I love this place. Love LSU. Born and raised here. I love the people here. I love being a Cajun. I'm very proud of it. You know, when we got off the plane, the first one to meet us was the governor and his wife and his daughter. That shows the magnitude of LSU in the state of Louisiana. And then the thousands of people that greet our young men. We had coaches that have been here for a long time that have never seen anything like that. 8 years that we haven't beaten Alabama, and we're so proud that we're able to do it this year.
A great time right now for LSU football. And for that man right there, Ed Orgeron, to be in charge of it, makes it even more fun for me. I mean, you love stories like that. Somebody from there, somebody goes back home after the trials and tribulations that he's had. And if you look at his path to getting here, there was a great article in The Athletic written earlier this week with a lot of quotes from his wife about the dark times when they were in Ole Miss and losing games and getting fired and then not knowing what was going to happen and then USC and all that. It's very good. I would recommend checking it out. It's kind of interesting that they go to Ole Miss this weekend. Right? After the biggest win he's ever had as a head coach.
They're going to go gut punch Ole Miss.
They're going to score so many points against Ole Miss this weekend. Like, Joe Burrow and that offense is going to – they could put up 60. Honestly.
They're going to punch him in the gut. You know what I'm saying? And because that was personal. But, I mean, he wasn't good at Ole Miss. That's kind of what it was. He just wasn't good. But, yeah, I remember you didn't know what was going to happen to Ed Orgeron because I think if Tom Herman would have took, you know, if Tom Herman was serious about that LSU job or Jimbo Fisher, we know that he wouldn't be there. But because they did take the job and they had faith and stuck with him, and then he had faith to stick and stay out of the way and allow this offense to evolve the way it did, I mean, he's got to be coach of the year in the nation probably.
I would think so.
Yeah,
I mean, I would think so.
That's the thing about it. He moved out the way. It's like, hey, here you go.
Yeah.
Joe Brady.
And I think Joe Brady more than likely ends up being coordinator of the year in the nation. I mean, he comes in there and changes their offense the way that he does. He's not the offensive coordinator, by the way.
No, he's not.
Like, he gets talked about as if he is, and I know he has a lot to do with what the offense has done. I mean, who had even heard of that guy until this year?
Nobody.
He was like the passing game coordinator for the New Orleans Saints, right? Like, that's where he came from. I know in coaching circles he was a big deal. It's not like anybody was clamoring. When they hired Joe Brady, I'm sure there were some insiders that said this could be a big deal. But it's not like that was the headline news on shows across the country. Oh God, they got Joe Brady. Everything's different.
But
now.
if you read up on LSU before the season, they did talk about him coming over, but nobody thought that. And you notice how whenever we have anybody from LSU on, I always ask the same question: did you see this coming? And nobody saw this coming. We heard because you remember they brought in Matt Canada and they were going to have all these motions and shifts and all that.
Right.
None of that happened.
And it wasn't.
Yeah.
And he's gone. Where is he now?
I think he's in Maryland.
Is he in Maryland?
I think he's in Maryland.
Kansas? Who knows? All right. You like dad jokes, Randy?
Not especially, but
I do.
We're going to have to hear one.
Let's hear one.
Probably if this were Major League Christmas, we would be looking at 30 stockings that would clearly want a lump of coal. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's Scott Boras with an all-timer. He's Garrett Cole's agent. Garrett Cole's going to get a lot of money this offseason.
Yes, he is.
But the lump of coal joke with Christmas coming up, 30 baseball teams, not great. But at least he tried it. I give him credit for trying it. The bottom line is Garrett Cole's going to get a lot of money.
Yes, he is.
He's going to get a lot of money this offseason.
Verlander won the NL.
Yep.
NL,
and DeGrom goes back-to-back.
Dude, he has 21 wins in two seasons, and he's won back-to-back Cy Young.
Plays on a bad baseball team.
plays on a bad, bad, bad baseball team. All right, guys, we have a four-pack prize of tickets to the Georgia State and App State game this weekend. So caller number 5 at 404-741-0929. Talk to Wendy. She'll get your name down, and we'll talk about you after the break. Again, that's a four-pack pack a ticket to the Georgia State versus App State game this weekend.
I'm going.
Yeah, so go see Andy.
Come by and say hi to me at the tailgate. We're going to be hanging out, going to that football game, 7:30 Saturday night. So coming up next, Lunchtime Falcons Report. Wes Durham is going to join us. We will talk to Wes Durham at our normal time coming up next.
We sure?
Right? Yes.
Okay.
Thumbs up. Wes Durham coming up next. Don't go anywhere. The voice of the Atlanta Falcons right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Thursday. 20 minutes away from some damn good dog questions with Brian Gebhardt. There's four of them today. Four damn good dog questions today. Because yesterday there was five. And we didn't get to all of them, not surprisingly. We'll try to get to all four of them coming up 20 minutes from right now as we continue to get ready for Georgia and Auburn on Saturday afternoon. But it's time now, as always, for the Lunchtime Falcons Report at 12:20. And Wes Durham joins us at 12:20 on Thursdays from the Falcons Radio Network. How are you, Wes?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Doing good.
Doing good, and certainly happy to have a game like last weekend's game to talk about. Certainly a different vibe than what had happened over the last 6 weeks. I wonder, like, one of the takeaways that I had from the football game was just a little bit of relief that we weren't crazy in the summertime to feel like this team was capable of that. Wasn't it nice to see them go out there and show everybody, at least for a week, maybe they can do it again, but at least for a week, what they're capable of?
Oh, yeah. I mean, certainly there's that validation, Andy. I think the other thing, too, is that you see, you know, and I sometimes defer to the guy that actually played in the league in these conversations. I think you how thin the line is in the NFL. I mean, it's really thin. 7-1 and 1-7 is not that far, right, Mac? I mean, it's just not that big a – it's not as big a gap as people think it is on paper, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing about it is Wes, is that it's two or three plays every game. And that usually can decide the outcome. And again, like Andy said when we brought you on, you are the voice of the Atlanta Falcons. What did you see? I mean, from your vantage point, when you and Dave were up there calling the game, was there anything different before the game against New Orleans that you didn't see all year long?
Before the game, no, because I was concerned about a lot of the same things that probably everybody else was.
Right.
Could you score enough? Could you get enough stops, right? Little did we know that Drew Brees wouldn't throw, you know, would be held without an offensive touchdown for the first time in his New Orleans career. Little did we know that Atlanta, who went four games without a sack, would get six sacks, right? I mean, you take those two elements alone, and if you told me that was going to happen before the game, Atlanta's going to get six sacks and Brees is not going to have a touchdown, then I would have said, well, wait a second now. If that's going to happen, they're going to have a chance. But from Younghoe Koo's four field goals to Brian Hill's first touchdown catch in the NFL, you know, winning comes in strange forms sometimes. And I think what happens is Atlanta was able to kind of put all three elements together. From Younghoe Koo actually knocking a guy out of bounds, what, up near midfield?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, they got stymied on a punt. New Orleans started out in plus territory, and Atlanta posted two sacks. I mean, just start thinking about the little things that came into play on this, right? And then you get a very efficient day out of Matt Ryan, but you didn't have to get a record-setting day from Ryan. You didn't have to get a record-setting day really from anybody. You just had to play collectively as a team. And as you said a moment ago, Andy, you hope you can do it again. Is it enough momentum to start to crawl back? Yeah, maybe so. I think we get to find out on Sunday in Charlotte against a team that, by the way, has plenty of stakes to play for. I mean, Carolina is at the back end of the wild card, but, you know, we still got a lot of football left to go. We still got seven games to play in the regular season.
Yeah, Wes, I've been asking pretty much everybody this question this week that we've talked to about this team and the performance that they had on Sunday against the Saints in relation to this game this weekend against the Panthers and trying to do it again. Like, what did you see in the performance that you think is repeatable? Like, what can you take out of that game and say, yeah, I think they can do that again. I think they can. I mean, six sacks is ridiculous. You're not going to do that every single weekend. But what did you see them do against the Saints? You're like, yeah, I can anticipate them doing that again this weekend.
Well, look, let's be honest. They didn't give up any big time busted plays
right in
the secondary. I thought the secondary played its best game of the year, and you had to, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Michael Thomas is the real deal. He's just like Julio Jones. You got to find a way to get that guy locked down and contained. I thought they did, for the most part, a very good job in the secondary. I thought I thought, and I don't know what Deion Jones has got going on, but he's the damn Saints kryptonite now. I mean, he is absolutely going back into his hometown and wrecking their day. But, you know, I thought the linebacking play was outstanding. I thought they did a really good job offensively of taking advantage of matchups as the day went on. I think Brian Hill's got a place on this football team. I missed because I thought it was a couple of years ago when they got him out of Wyoming, because I thought he was a fantastic player in college. And it's just taken a circuitous route to be effective for Brian Hill. But, look, I think Brian Hill gives you some things in the run game. Not that Devontae Freeman doesn't. I think they're great complementary pieces together. And now Hill's going to get his chance with Ito Smith on the shelf. I am concerned about how the tight end thing shakes out with Austin Hooper being down, to be honest with you. But I think if you are efficient, you don't have to go post wild numbers, and you can even go even or, you know, have an interception that's more like a punt, which the Ryan throw was on Sunday. I like your chances in Charlotte because, let's be honest, they're running Christian McCaffrey now at a record-setting pace in terms of attempts. You know, through eight games, he was already at 165 attempts. And they may lead the league in sacks, but, you know, the reason they lead the league in sacks is because once every three or four snaps, they get really good coverage. When they don't have good coverage in the secondary, there are people running free on the Carolina Panthers. And there's some games to prove it. So you respect Luke Kuechly. You respect kind of where Shaq Thompson is now as a veteran player out of Washington. You know this, Andy, a guy who's kind of become a hybrid for him, and they finally got him fitted. They're playing more of a 3-4 look, but everybody, I think, is more 3-4 now, and I think Atlanta's going to have a chance. Kyle Allen is a good quarterback, but in my opinion, Kyle Allen is not the starter in 2020 for the Carolina Panthers. I don't think Cam Newton's the starter either, but, you know, he can get them through the rest of the year.
Oh, I agree with you on that one, Wes. I didn't think that. I was like, I mean, Kyle Allen, he's good right now, but is he going to be a guy that you look to build around? And we know this, everything starts with 22, but is there another matchup? Me and Andy think that Greg Olsen, Gio, would be that one guy that might give the Falcons fit. But other than that, I think they can match up with Samuel and Moore.
Yeah, look, I think Olsen's a problem for everybody. But I'll also say, too, that I don't think, and you know, we could go the deep dive on North Turner here, right, Randy? I mean, I don't think they've used Ian Thomas the way they did a year ago.
Right.
I thought Ian Thomas was the guy who was ready to go off as a tight end in this league, a big athletic kid who could really run. And remember now, Atlanta's had problems with big athletic tight ends that can run.
Yeah.
Olsen is a tremendous player. Might be a Hall of Famer. I don't know. But I do know this. In terms of guys that Atlanta's had a hard time matching up with, whether it's, you know, the Rams, Ebron, or the Colts, guys like that, Ian Thomas strikes a little fear in me on Sunday because he's the kind of guy that's really gashed Atlanta defensively through the first half of the season.
Wes Durham joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, as he does on Thursdays at 12:20, joining us on the WadeForIt.com hotline. Wes, this doesn't have anything to do with the game this weekend, but what you said is really interesting to me. What do you think the Panthers are going to do at quarterback next year?
They're going to save a lot of money and say goodbye to number one is what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, financially, they cannot afford to keep Cam Newton. I mean, that's a truckload of money,
yeah,
right? I mean, and it's not Russell Wilson money, right? But it's still a lot of money. I don't know. If Cam Newton wants to continue to play football, I think Cam Newton plays football somewhere else. But I don't think the Panthers are going to – Kyle Allen, I'll be surprised if Kyle Allen's a quarterback next year when they start the season. I don't know if they do it in the draft, but you think of the guys that are going to be on the market at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is Andy Dalton going to be available? And I'm going to throw names out there that probably won't be wildly popular in Charlotte, but that's not the point of this. There are veteran guys out there who've had some success in the NFL that are going to be looking for homes. Everybody from Phillip Rivers and Adam Schefter rumoring Tom Brady to Eli Manning, right, who hasn't played much at all this year. I mean, those guys are all going to be potential free agents in the National Football League at quarterback, and I could very easily see one of those guys being the starting quarterback for Carolina in 2020. But financially, I just don't know that they can keep Cam Newton as the quarterback going forward, especially off two seasons of injuries. It's almost like learning to say goodbye to a running back before the contract. in some cases now with a guy who's like Newton, who's a big threat in the run game, you're maybe having to say goodbye a lot earlier than you wanted to. But let's be honest, guys, he hadn't been healthy since the MVP season.
Yeah, right.
That's just the real facts of where Cam's career is, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I mean, and he was playing well last year, and before that Steelers game when Watt hit him on that shoulder, and he just hasn't been the same since. And this game, I mean, like you were saying earlier, Wes, they're still playing for something up there in Carolina. I tried to make this comparison earlier because the Saints are a better team than Carolina, but this is a different, more challenging matchup, I think, for them as far as this. They're going to force the run game, Wes, no matter what.
Right. Yeah, I think what happens with the Panthers, and Randy, you can talk about this as well as anybody. I think Carolina has built themselves a legit, and we talk about the sack numbers, they got a lot of guys that can go get sacks. That's the thing that concerns you. They don't put anybody out there. I mean, they lost Kawan Short for the year, but they put guys out there in the middle that can support the run, whether it's Poe. I mean, look at the way Gerald McCoy's playing for them. They draft Brian Burns, number one out of Florida State. Brian Burns can go get the quarterback now. I mean, they got a lot of guys that can really, really get in the game and make life troubling for Matt Ryan. And that's the other thing, too, that I'm concerned about. The offensive line is going to have to help keep Ryan clean on Sunday for Atlanta to have a chance to win the game, I think.
Wes, we appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for the time. This is a nice one for you this weekend, right? You get to drive to the stadium.
Yeah, I'm driving to Duke to do the Saturday game, drive back to Charlotte Saturday night, and then, I don't know, man, it's a little weird going to a game that's not your game and in a place kind of where you are. It's kind of weird.
Right, you get to stay at home and go to a road game. How strange is that? Hey, thanks for the time.
Appreciate it, Wes.
We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
All right.
Wes Durham there from the Falcons Radio Network. My bad. I did it again.
Yes, all right. Congratulations to Adrian Tan. Congratulations. You won 4 tickets, 4 pregame sideline passes, and 1 parking pass to Georgia State versus Appalachian State. And they'll be there. And his wife's going to be there.
You said it right, too.
And she's cooler.
She'll be happy about that.
There's a football game this Saturday at 2 p.m. Get your Georgia State football tickets today at georgiastatesports.com. Hold on. The game's at 2?
No, it's at 7:30.
Damn it, Jimmy!
It used to be at 2, but they changed it. It's at 7:30. Oh, man. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to some damn good dog questions with Brian Gebhardt. Did Wes Durham say that Tom Brady is going to play for the Panthers next year?
Or Phillip Rivers.
Or hint at it? That's amazing. I want to talk about that later, too, okay? All right, we'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you on a Thursday. Thanks to Wes Durham for hanging out, as he does on Thursdays at 12:20 for the Lunchtime Falcons Report. Great stuff from him. Top of the 1 o'clock hour, about 20 minutes from right now, we'll get back into what's trending. A lot of big stories as we continue to get ready for this big football weekend, man. Biggest college football game in the country between Georgia and Alabama on Saturday afternoon.
Auburn.
Oh, my bad. Georgia and Auburn. It's in Alabama. Maybe that's why I was thinking that. I don't know.
Okay.
Georgia and Auburn, my bad. And, of course, the Falcons back in action against the Panthers on Sunday as well.
Yeah, and don't forget, Andy, everybody, we will be at Kennesaw Twin Peaks tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Yes, from 10 to 2, we will be out there. The crew will be there. So make sure y'all come by. Say hello.
It's been a while.
Wendy's going to be there, so you know the rule. Be respectful.
Don't be creepy.
And everything.
That's
and also, you can join me Friday. I know this Saturday at Dudley's Food and Spirits in Lithonia. From 1 to 3:30. 1:30 to 3:30 is sponsored by Dos Equis. Make sure y'all come have some brews. We're going to watch some college football, and you can register to win 2 tickets to the Peach Bowl.
I ate some of those little fishy crackers during the break.
Like the goldfish?
Yeah, the goldfish crackers.
Uh-huh.
Terrible idea. It's like my mouth's all dry now. It's hard to talk. There's like goldfish in my teeth. Let's let Brian Gebhardt talk. Does that sound like a good idea?
I guess.
It's time for some damn good dog questions with Brian Gebhardt.
Did you just call them fishy crackers?
Yeah,
fishy
that's
crackers.
What I said.
What is that?
You mean goldfish?
Goldfish.
Yeah, goldfish. Fishy crackers.
Just say goldfish.
All right.
Thank you.
I'll go either way.
No, no.
It's like quarterback or QB.
No.
No, it is not.
No, it's not.
Absolutely
no, it is
not.
No way.
Fishy crackers. I'm not
fishy
eating something that's called fishy crackers.
Fishy crackers. Yeah.
Goldfish.
I don't know. I guess I reverted back to being a toddler there. I'm not sure what happened. I don't regret it, and I enjoyed them. They're the multicolored ones, too. There's green ones, red ones, orange ones, fishy crackers. They were delicious. But it's hard to talk now, so it's a little bit of a bad move.
It's a poor decision.
Okay.
All right. we'll start here. This is actually a question that's not even on the sheet. This happens every once in a while. It just came into my mind here.
All right.
And I'll ask this specifically to Randy. Can Georgia handle Auburn's girth?
Really?
I mean, you spoke about the girth on the defensive line.
Well, the good news for Georgia is their offensive line also girthy.
They are girthy. And so I think it'll be a girth-on-girth match.
Who's girthier? I mean, is it the Georgia offensive line or is it the
Georgia
offensive
line?
Is
bigger than the Auburn defense.
Georgia's offensive line, on average, is what, like 330?
They're like the biggest O-line in football.
Yeah, you know, Sam Pittman likes them like
that. He likes them girthy. But what they're going to have to do, I mean, they're not going to be able to just go straight at this. They're going to have to use some misdirection, get them running sideways and everything. Because you're not just going to do that old running up the middle type joint. They're solid right there.
I meant to ask Takiyo Spikes this, and I don't know what he would have said, because obviously from an Auburn perspective, he might have said it's impossible. But if you're trying to neutralize Derrick Brown, like, what do you just run away from him instead of trying to just run to the side, run to the outsides and stay away from him?
You got to run away from him, man, because the one thing that he does, he's so disruptive, Andy, and what Spikes was talking about in that LSU game. You remember they were just holding him all day. They couldn't block him. I mean, this guy is a one-man wrecking crew, and he got guys up front to help him. So they're going to have to find ways to neutralize it. It's one of those what I call it, four hands on game, where you got to have at least four hands on him at all time.
Girthy individual. Brian?
I don't know how we go into the next question from that.
I don't either.
All right, has this Georgia defense truly been tested? And I ask it like this, because these are the quarterbacks they've played so far this season. Mm-hmm. Riley Neal from Vandy, Preston Rice from Murray State, Logan Bonner from Arkansas State, Ian Book from Notre Dame, Brian Maurer from Tennessee, Ryan Helinski, Endicarion Joyner from South Carolina, Lynn Bowden from Kentucky.
Who's Kyle, a wide receiver?
Yeah, Kyle Trask, who is probably the best quarterback on this list, from Florida, and Taylor Powell from Missouri. So have they been tested in the sense of playing against a good quarterback at all?
No, not really.
No, they haven't.
Not really. How many great quarterbacks are there, though, in college football?
Thank you.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that there are, I don't know, seven or eight of them. Bo Nix isn't one of them. So, I mean, it's not like this weekend is going to be the first weekend where that happens. I mean, I think Ian Book's pretty good. Ian Book's pretty good quarterback. Kyle Trask is pretty good. Ryan Helinski probably going to be good as he gets a little bit older, and that's probably true of Bo Nix as well. But, I mean, Georgia isn't going to face one of those guys, like one of those quarterbacks, until the SEC championship game. If they get there and they take on Joe Burrow, that'll be it. And then the playoff if they win that game. But, no, I agree with that to an extent. Like, they haven't played against an elite quarterback up until this point. Have they played an elite offense, though? Because I don't think they've done that either.
They haven't. And that's the thing about it is that, but you're going to play who's in front of you.
True.
I mean, it ain't Georgia's fault that they ain't good. But the thing about it is when we use these questions, it's kind of annoying because, like, oh, they didn't beat anybody. Well, that's they're supposed to beat up that squad. I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, because it would be a lot worse if you lost to them, right?
Right.
So you're supposed to beat them up.
I know, basically
you did what you were supposed to do.
Exactly.
But yet, y'all you upset. Because they took what they were supposed to do.
It's always the hard part of this point of the season where there's still, 25% of the schedule left? But the argument becomes, oh, you haven't played anybody yet. This team hadn't played anybody yet. They haven't played anybody yet. Okay, I mean, they've played everybody that's on their schedule. And by the end of the year, everyone will have played somebody, especially if you're in a Power 5 conference. The problem is, I mean, are people going to say that if Georgia beats Auburn? Like, if Georgia beats Auburn this weekend, oh, they haven't played anybody. Auburn is the 11th ranked team in the nation. Like, they're a really good team. Florida's a good team. They were top 10 when they beat them. Notre Dame's a pretty good I don't know. Like, I don't know what you're supposed to do to beat that argument other than just beat everybody, I suppose.
Where would Georgia be ranked if they didn't have Notre Dame on the schedule this year? Because that's kind of the argument
right now for Alabama.
That's
a great question.
So take that off. Just replace it with, you know, Western Carolina or somebody like that. Okay. I mean, that's generic
that's
cupcake.
That's a great question.
Where would they be?
Probably. I think they'd still be in the six. I still think they'd be in the six. I do.
Just so two spots down. So behind Alabama.
Possibly.
And behind Oregon.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
they'd be in the six somewhere, yeah.
Because, again, as much as it shouldn't, preseason rankings play into it, right? And Georgia was a top four team coming into the year. As much as it shouldn't, name brand plays into it. Georgia's a name brand as well, so they're going to get the benefit of the doubt on that one. I mean, they'd still be ahead of Utah. I mean, their resume would still be better than Utah if they had beaten Western Carolina instead of Notre Dame. That's why you schedule good non-conference opponents. That's why Kirby's doing what he's doing right now with Oklahoma on the schedule and Ohio State on the schedule and Texas and Clemson and all these teams. That's why they're doing this. That's why like coaches and athletic directors are loading up so you get the benefit of the doubt of wins like that or close losses, honestly. I mean, teams get credit for that too.
Got about just 30 seconds left here. Is Gus Malzahn the head coach of Auburn next season?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Although when we asked Takeo about that, the silence was deafening.
Well, like, he know the
there
money.
There was a pause.
He know that money man down there now.
Yeah. So. How much would it cost now at this point to buy him out?
Lots, but they got it.
They got it. If they're buying Willie Taggart out at Florida State, you could buy anybody out.
Yeah. Today, tune in to 92.9 The Game, 2 hours before every Falcons game for the Bud Light Countdown to kick off. The guy we love, Harry Douglas,
love him.
And Paul Crane,
woo!
Will preview also the Falcons' him. Upcoming matchup. Countdown to Kickoff is brought to you by Bud Light, brewed for the Dirty Birds.
Okay, we're going to come back and get to what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Lots of good audio from Dan Quinn yesterday. Jeff Ulbricht with some interesting comments as well.
And also, Raheem Morris got some interesting comments, too.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Some fresh Raheem Morris audio.
Yes.
Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.